As by, I heard a bunch of people shouting, 13, 13, 13. He just kept on moving around, but he got a little curious, so out of curiosity of what was going on, he tried to look over the wooden fence, but it was way too high. Just a few spots down, though, he saw a gap between the planks, just a few steps away from where he was, so he looked through this, and suddenly, he looked through, he was poked in the eye by one of the folks on the other side with a stick. Before he could walk too far, he heard, 14, 14, 14!
That would go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Here we are, another week. Another sermon. I hope this one's good.
They all are.
I never feel quite ready. Last minute changes. A bit nervous sometimes. Often a bit insecure. I know God's word's powerful, yet sometimes I feel so weak. Come on, Pastor, get with it. You know, smile. What's that lame joke anyway? Oh man, don't say something stupid. And I'll for sure don't mix up those stories. So just get them right. It's Job, not Job. Oh, remember. I'm curious. Does anyone here have that ongoing war in your mind? I don't know about you, but so often I battle in my mind between, you know, thoughts of faith and thoughts of fear. I want to trust God, and yet sometimes I think I can do better. Maybe it's just I want to have a little control. I don't know, but maybe you're like me. You can walk in this place, you get in the atmosphere like this, and in a moment, and you just feel like you're so full of that spiritual confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell that mountain to move and it's going to go away. I mean, you just had the faith that will move mountains type thing. And then in the next moment, you just get this overwhelming, crippling insecurity that paralyzes you and holds you back. Ever feel that way? And here's what I discovered. I have discovered that the mind is a battlefield.
Yeah.
Something, someone's always grabbing for our attention. Just life does that. Trying to get you to think the worst about anything when God is the best.
Sorry.
And the truth is, life's battles are won or lost in our minds. The vast majority of them are won or lost in our minds. But here's the good news. And you want some good news?
Amen. Let's hear it.
God's word is powerful.
Amen.
And not just able to help you, but to transform you.
Amen.
Into what God created you to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
And one of the ways that happens is when we get a renewing of our
mind.
So I'm starting a new series today. It's going to be a few weeks, and I'm calling it Mind Wars. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And, you know, the next few weeks, we're going to really look into the mind of Paul, the apostle. And when you look at his life, we get to see pretty much before he was a follower of Jesus, when he became a follower of Jesus, and then while he walked with Jesus for a while. We get to see all of that and watch how Jesus renews his mind as the transformation happens. And listen, I don't believe it happened overnight. I don't believe it's an instant transformation. He went from his old ways of thinking to his new ways of thinking. I think there's a struggle. But we see it happen. And in Romans 7, we see this battle in his mind. Let me just say this about these verses before I get to it. These verses I'm about to read, they were explaining Paul pre-conversion experience. And this is before he became saved. He's telling about his pre-conversion experience. But Paul struggled because Paul was a very devout Jew. He had the idea. He had the, you know, he lived the law. He thought of the law. And he struggled with this idea of the law. He struggled with how it is. So everything that, you know, we looked at how Paul was when he understood God's grace. Amen. We did some studies on that. But here in these verses, he was describing the frustration as a devout Jew trying to keep the law, and it was futile. He just couldn't do it. God's grace, on the other hand, allows us to walk in the calling God's called us to be. And so Paul had to have a change in his thinking to reach the destiny that God called him to. And so let's look at what he says. In Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, it says this: I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
That's a little tongue twister. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So this is, again, now this is Paul's pre-conversion, because we know we're new creatures in Christ. Amen? But he almost sounds like crazy in there, doesn't he? It's like the crazy thoughts went on his mind. I'm trying to do good. I can't do it. I do this. Everything is. What I want to do in the next few weeks is watch him progress throughout his life and ministry, as he learns to wage war against the lies that attack his mind. We're going to see him capture and the wrong thoughts, or replace them with the truth of the Word, and win the war in his mind. This is what Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Greek word translated as power in that scripture is the word called dunamis. It's explosive. It represents the explosive, miraculous power of God. The dunamis. That's the word power. You see that we get our word dynamite from it. Dynamite's powerful. It can be used to demolish things and do things. But the weapons we fight with, they're the divine power to demolish, to destroy strongholds. And you probably don't use that word stronghold very often, if ever. It's not a word you just use that much, stronghold. But what is a stronghold? It comes from the Greek word ocheroma, and it's a military stronghold. It's like a fortress that was often built in the middle of a city. The fortress could be surrounded by literally a wall that was like 20 feet deep. I mean, just a huge, massive wall. And this is where the military officials might be kept during the time of battle to keep them safe. It might be where they store the prisoners. They were taken captive, so they couldn't come get them back. And so all that stuff. That's a fortress. That was a stronghold. And the enemy, the devil, in case you don't know who he is, our spiritual enemy, wants to attack your mind and create strongholds of deception in your mind. So you believe something that's untrue. And if you believe these lies long enough, they really become your truth. And it'll take you away from God's healing, his calling, his destiny has on your life. What does the devil do? The devil tries to shape your thinking one lie at a time. and to be a prisoner of deception. The devil will lie to you about you. He'll tell you you're never going to measure up. He'll tell you you just can't do it, whatever. He'll lie to you about others. He'll tell you that others are, you know, never like you. They won't love you. They won't take care of you. Whatever. He'll lie about others. He'll lie to you about God. He'll tell you that, you know, God's not who you believe God to be. That's who God says he is. I mean, he'll lie to you about all those things. He tells you that you can't trust people. You'll never succeed. You're always going to be broke. You're never going to have a good marriage. God doesn't hear your prayers. God doesn't care about you. You're never going to make a difference. You're never going to measure up. So how do you battle in your mind? Well, here's a good thing. Scripture tells us this. That we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And what do we do? Nope. Back up. There we go. Thank you. So we demolish the arguments, pretension, every pretension that sets itself up. And then what do we do? We take captive every thought. Make obedient to Christ. Let's pray for a minute. Abba, we come boldly to your throne of grace today. We ask that the power of your word, that you would renew our minds. Renew our minds with truth. Help us take every thought captive. We can't afford to have one thought that is not from you. Set us free from believing the lies that rob us of the joy and the peace that you provide for us in this abundant life you give to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Hear this, church. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thought. Our lives always move in the direction of our strongest thought. Science. Behavior psychologists tell us that a lot of problems are actually related to wrong thought processes. Some relational challenges, some eating disorders, addictions, some forms of anxiety are actually a direct result of toxic thinking. That's what science says. Now, we've always heard science and God doesn't agree. But let's see what God says about that. This is what science, says. That's what God says, because you know God's words are true, right?
Amen.
Look what it says in Proverbs. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Wow. Here's what I believe. I believe that life so often is a reflection of the thoughts that we have. What we think oftentimes determines what we become. In other words, if you tend to think I can't do something, I'll never be able to do something, chances are, you know, if you don't think you have what it takes, you just won't even try. You just won't have what it takes. So you probably won't. If you dwell on your problems, the world's bad, it's getting worse, those problems are going to overwhelm you. So instead, let's look for some solutions. If you believe you can have faith, walk in righteousness, you'll find some solutions. Your faith will increase. You will walk in the way that pleases God. But if you always feel like you're a victim, you will likely become a victim. In the same way, if you believe that you can overcome, by the power of Christ within you, you will be an overcomer. As a matter of fact, God's word tells us that we're not just overcomers, but we're more than conquerors. So what I want to do today is we're going to audit our thoughts. We're going to audit our thoughts. And think about what you think about. Let me start by looking at three different categories, if you will. And I want you to think about where you might fit into this one of these categories. And T, to you. So let me just ask you this. Let me see where you fall on this list. Are you characterized by worried thoughts, panic, anxiety, or fear? Or would you say that your thoughts are typically characterized by being full of peace? I don't have to answer it out loud. Don't raise your hand. Don't poke them next to you. Nothing like that. Just don't worry about it. Do you wake up and have your mind drift towards fear? What could go wrong? I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about the economy. I'm worried about the state of the world and the direction our world is heading because our country's so out of control. Or do you find yourself, even if things are bad, how many of you agree they're a little bad right now? Do you find that even if things are bad and complicated,
right,
you find yourself casting your care upon God and recognizing there's a peace that passes all understanding. You sense His presence, His goodness, His Spirit with you, even when things aren't the way you think they should be or the way you hope they would be. What would you say if you're auditing your thoughts? Are you more characterized by worry or peace? What do your thoughts gravitate towards? Second category is this. Do your thoughts drift toward the negative or the positive? Do you wake up and find yourself negative and critical of people, assuming the worst instead of believing the best? Do you look at your day and say, oh, it's going to be a hard day. It's going to be bad. Times are tough. It's supposed to rain. You know, weather looks lousy. I'm always so busy. There's not enough of me to go around. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Or do you wake up with a positive faith? And again, even if things are difficult, you say, you know what? Things may be difficult right now, but I know God can work all things out for good to those who love Him.
Amen.
Those who call according to His purpose. Mm-hmm. The third category is when it comes to what you think about. Are your thoughts more toward the things of this world? Oh, and just in case you don't realize all those things, as you think about the things of the world, they're all temporal. They're just temporary. They're going to pass away. Or do you think, or you drift towards the things that are eternal? Are your thoughts more concerned about what you have, what you look like, who liked your posts on Facebook, how many followers you have, about what everybody thinks about you? And I dealt with this a little bit a couple weeks ago, a little bit, sort of brainstorming on that. Or do you drift toward the eternal? What God has said about you. What He has given you. The blessings in your life. The gifts of the Spirit He's allowed you to bestow upon you so that you can be a blessing to others around you. Use it for His glory and His good. Make a difference in the lives of those people around you with those gifts He's given you. What would you say characterizes your thoughts? What we think about matters more than you can imagine. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. As a man is, as a man thinketh his heart, so is he. What goes on in our mind comes out in our life. No matter what you do, or what you have, or who you know, or what you buy, or where you live, or where you travel, you cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. You might enjoy the time away from travel. But why? Because your life is moving toward the direction of your strongest thoughts. The question I want to ask you to ask yourself today is this. If your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, This is going to be tough for you, for some of us maybe, but for me. Here's a question. Are you ready? If your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? The truth is, church, I had to ask myself that question not too long ago. Because I did not like the direction my thoughts were taking me. They were often consumed with fear, with self-doubt, with my inner dialogue with myself would often be discouraging. Can I just be honest?
Yeah.
I struggled with it. And I still at times have got thoughts that are not in the line with what God says, and so I'm learning to take those thoughts captive and bring them into the obedience of Christ. And so in the next couple weeks, we're going to go on a journey. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, and we're going to ask God to renew our minds with truth. So today, all I want to do today is I want to settle a foundation. And then we're going to build off that foundation over the next couple weeks. And so we can win the war in our mind and change our thinking so God can change our life. Amen. So two foundational thoughts that we're going to build upon. First one is, if you're taking notes, first one is this. What I want to do is just encourage you to identify the biggest stronghold that's holding you back. Remember what a stronghold is? That thought that keeps you a prisoner locked up by a fear or by a lie. What is the biggest mental stronghold that's holding you back? You might think over and over again, I'm not good enough, or my past is too bad, I can't use me, or I can't trust people around me, or I'm never gonna be good with money, or I never get close to God. Let me just pause there real quick and tell you about that one. If you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit lives in you. You are the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living within you. I don't know how much closer to God you can get than that. Now, does that mean we always feel that way? No. No, we don't. I don't always feel close. But what it means is that I am close in spite of my feelings. There's a thought for you. So maybe you think I'll never be in a job that's fulfilling with something that I love, and whatever it might be. So here's the thing, when you think is a positive thought, you get a surge of rewarding neurotransmitter releasing this very legal drug called dopamine. Every time your brain gives you some dopamine, you get a thrill, you get some excitement, you get a little, maybe you get a buzz, I don't know, but you something happens in your brain that when you get some dopamine shot in, someone you like and respect comments on your post and you get some dopamine. Someone says, "Ooh, you look good," dopamine. Awesome sermon, dopamine. It's that positive surge of release to your brain. And what's so interesting is that the more you think a thought, science tells us it's easier to think that thought again. Stronghold. If you believe a lie for long enough, you start to be impacted as if what that lie was is actually true. You get stuck in a rut. Think about it this way. If I'm in my house, and every day for 100 days, I walk out my front door and I take the same path, walk my yard, walk the same way every day for 100 days, what's going to happen to my grass? It's going to die. If you're going to drive by my house, you're going to know exactly the path I take every day. That's just that easy. It's just, you're going to understand that path happens. It's just that happens. And if my mind for 100 days straight, I think on a lie, I start to believe this lie, I create a neural pathway, if you will, to my brain. So with God's help, what we're going to do is renew our minds. We're going to start a new path. Stay off the old path. And if I stay off the old path long enough, what happens? The grass grows back. No longer you see my trail. There will be resistance because, trust me, it's not always easy to walk. We get accustomed to some certain areas and certain things and, you know, just
walk. Like walking blind.
Yeah. But ultimately, here's the good news. The truth sets you free.
Yeah.
Romans 12, Paul said this way. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. In other words, don't be conformed to the patterns of the thought processes, the wrong ways of thinking the world thinks. He continued and said, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Starting off, we're staying off the destructive, negative paths. We're creating new paths of truth. Now, I don't know how this will affect your life or how much it will play up your life. I'm not sure of that. But maybe your path is this. It's a frustrating day at work, and you come home, and it's been crazy at home, and your old path tells you to yell at your spouse and take it on your family. We're on a different path now. So you capture that thought, and you might count to 3, 10, been a really bad day, count to 100, you know, say a prayer, and then instead you walk a different road, and you come up and say, I'm sorry, it's been a difficult day, and you hug your spouse, and you change your tone by changing the path. You're bored, what do? You pick up your phone and you scroll Facebook and you scroll through all those posts and you see all those friends and you start to hate them and you're disappointed that their life looks so much better in your life. And you just, and you feel like a loser. So what you might do is create a new path. You open your Bible, you scroll through the Word and you try to put something in there that's different, that your brain can be renewed in. That makes sense? So here's a challenge for you this week. Identify the biggest strongholds holding you back. Just one. Don't take all 35 of them at one time. Just take one. You know, just pick one. What is it for you? It may be, maybe you value your identity and you might feel like I'm just not lovable. That's your one. Or you might wrongly believe that you've said it so long that I'll just never be good enough, or I don't deserve anything good, or I'll always be broke, or you feel helpless and hopeless and worthless. My past is too bad. God surely can't use me and can't forgive me and for everything I've done. And just let me just pause again on that one. If that's really where you are, let me just address that really quick. God is satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus made. Okay, he's satisfied. My question for you is this. If God is satisfied, are you? If the God who created the world is fully satisfied that your sins have been dealt with, then why are you trying to deal with your sins? We all do it. Why are you trying to fulfill some requirement when God says all the requirements have been fulfilled? Let me just add this, and this one relates to what I'm sharing today. When you and the creator of the world disagree, who do you think is right?
Not me.
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm just kind of, sometimes we do, but God always is. Trust me.
That's right.
So identity. So identify the biggest stronghold. And then the second thing I want you to do is this. Name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. Now, why does the truth matter? Let me just simply put it, because it does. Okay, but let me just show you Proverbs, John chapter 8, 32. It says this. Then you will know the
truth.
And the
truth
will set you
free.
You have me free?
Yes.
Learn truth. Jesus said that, by the way, in case you didn't know. The lie puts you into a spiritual bondage. And some of you are living a life based on a lie. Something a parent, a teacher, someone you respect said something and did something to you that was not the truth about you. And you have believed it for so long, it's become your reality, your truth. But I want you to know, God says something different. And when you know the truth will set you free. Once again, let me look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. We read it once, let me read one more time. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Whatever that stronghold is, that's holding you prisoner in your mind, what do? We demolish it. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here's what we do. We take it captive. You are not a prisoner of your thoughts any longer in Jesus' name. How's that? I prophesy that today. We take our thoughts captive, we make them obedient to Christ. In fact, the Greek term translated as a captive is a term that means to attack with a sword or with a spear. And this is good. Just watch this. You talk about the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. We've just read that in 2 Corinthians. Ephesians 6 tells us something that is pretty cool. We have the spiritual armor. Look at it. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on part of the armor of God.
No.
Put on just the pieces you really want.
Put
on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, in other words, you've done everything. What does he say? Stand firm, verse 14 then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. With your feet filled with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
What do we have? The belt belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet, we have shoes of peace. We have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and all of those are defensive weapons. They protect us from the attacks. When a lie comes, we have God's truth.
Amen.
And we understand you're righteous. You are the righteous God in Christ Jesus. You walk differently because you put on the breastplate. When all hell comes at you and the storm just seems overwhelming, you can walk in peace because you have the right shoes on. When the enemy comes to you and says you can't even believe God for the small things, you pick up the shield of faith. And when you begin to question your salvation because you don't think you've done enough to earn it, you put on the helmet and you cover your thoughts with truth. And remember, it's not about you, it's about what He did.
Sorry.
We have one offensive weapon. You know what it is? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that sets us free. It's His powerful, living Word of God that is sharper than any double-edged sword and cuts away the lies of the enemy. That's the good news! We let God's Word take captive any lies that have held us bondage. Was it stronghold? Was the dominant lie that your spiritual enemy has tried to use to destroy your faith? Rob you of your intimacy that God wants you to have with Him. For me, the lie that I've always believed is that I'm never enough. I can't live up to your expectations, or more importantly, to God's. And the challenge with that is that there's some truth in that, which makes it a little easier to believe. Oh, by the way, so often that's what the devil does. He twists what God says just a touch to make it look like it's true. That's why I remember those sermons I did, those messages I did on the grace of God and the once for all forgiveness of God and all that. Those are truths that set me free. I hope they set you free too, George, you come. And thankfully, I don't have to rely only on what's inside of me. There is a power greater than me that absolutely and completely is more than enough. So here's my truth. Here's my struggles, here's my truth. That's from the Word of God that we get you from. 2 Peter 1:3 says this. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His manifold great glory and excellence. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. Let me make that a little more personal. God's power, God's divine power, has given me everything I need. He's given me the strength to do what He's called me to do. When I'm weak, His strength is made strong. Because His strength made perfect in my weakness. I've got the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of me. So it might sound something like this. Seeing that His divine power has granted that to George all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of Him who called George by His own glory and virtue. That's personal. His power is there for me when I don't have what it takes. He's given me everything I need for life and godliness. I can do what He has called me to do because He has equipped me by His Spirit that lives inside of me to walk it out. I can walk in righteousness because God has given me everything I need for living holy and godly. plan, my godly life. So what's the driving lie that has held you back? And what's the truth that will set you free? Maybe you think, I can't get it all done. I never can get it all done. And your truth is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When I'm weak, He makes me strong. Maybe you feel like, I'm never going to be attractive enough. I don't look the way I look. No, you understand. You're fearfully and wonderfully made by the grace of God. He's given you gifts to make a difference in this world. Maybe you feel like, I'm always going to be miserable. I'm always going to be depressed. No, not at all, because I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The moment the lie tells you you're going to do something to be always be alone, no, my God says He's with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Maybe you feel like you're just nothing but a victim. No, you're not. God's word says, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of testimony. I am not who others say I am. I am not who the thoughts say I am. I am who God says I am. And when you know the truth will set you free. Your life, in so many ways, is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What comes into your mind comes out of your life. You can have a positive, faith-filled life if you have a negative, fear-filled mind.
Life.
I want to say that's a lie, and I want to find the truth in your word that shows something different. I want to start a different path today, God, of just taking every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I don't need to believe the lies that the world has told me. I don't need to believe the lies that others have told me. I don't have to believe the lies of my parents, my teachers, or others. I want to believe your truth. Your truth tells me I'm more than a conqueror. Your truth tells me I'm loved. Your truth tells me I'm accepted. I'm adopted in the family of God. Your truth tells me your spirit lives inside of me. Your truth tells me the righteousness of God in Christ. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I can walk in the truth and the love and the grace and the peace and everything because you've changed my heart to be more like you. So Lord, let us lay down every lie at the cross and walk away the truth of your word. For I know when we do that, the truth, when we know the truth, it sets us free. Set us free today, God. By the power of your word, cut every lie from us. Let us walk a new path of your word and truth that transforms the lives of ourselves and those around us.
Thank you.